You're listening to Hearing Our Heritage, the podcast where we preserve the voices and stories of the older generation and make them accessible to younger ears. We pay tribute to those who have paved the way and learn from their lived experiences. I'm your host, Katie Pierce.
Mettie Ann Graham Nelson, 5841 in Rigby, Idaho.
Max Hilding Nelson, born July the 21st, 1939, in Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Max and Nettie Nelson are two of the finest people you could ever meet. Their love has spanned more than 60 years, enduring serious hardship along the way, while remaining steady through it all. Both were raised on family farms in eastern Idaho as faithful members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where hard work, music, family, and the gospel became central parts of their lives from a young age. Max first noticed Nettie as a teenager while attending state conference, and after serving a mission to the eastern central states, the two were reunited. The happy couple were married in the Idaho Falls Temple in 1962 and eventually settled in Boise, where they raised 7 children and built a home centered on faith, love, and family. Today, their posterity includes dozens of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and their ultimate hope is that their family will continue to love each other, love the Lord, and stay true to the gospel that has guided their lives together. Our story begins with Nettie's parents.
Leonard and Evelyn Graham. They were wonderful parents. Wonderful parents. They loved each other. They did things that the golden green balls, you know, that the church had.
Dance.
And but they, I don't remember that they were lovey-dovey. But they were close. So my dad was in the state presidency for years. And mother sewed, and she was in the Relief Society and the Singing Mothers. She was a singing mother. She made everything. She was homemade. She made wonderful bread. Loaves of bread. Yeah. Oh, she's had a gorgeous voice. She had, the steak always had a choir. And mother was, she had a beautiful voice. Mother had a beautiful voice. Soprano. La! I mean, I love to sing. My mother had a voice to die for. And she just sang in all the choirs and was very musical. Mother was the best bread maker. We always had homemade bread, never a loaf of bread. Was it not homemade?
And she did a lot of gardening.
Oh, we had a huge garden, And mother canned everything, carrot juice. And wheatgrass. She juiced it. Can you believe that? She lived to be
97.
My dad was the probate judge in Rigby. And it was unusual, but he was not a farmer, but he became the probate judge.
Her dad was really quite a man. He didn't go to college, but he became in the water department throughout the state of Idaho, one of the head men, and stayed that way for about 30 years. And then they started to build the Palisade Dam in Swan Valley, Idaho. But it was her dad that really was in charge of the water and the getting together of the people from the Congress, even though he'd never been to college, he was the top man in the water department of Idaho. And so he was in charge of that, and he was the first one to pull the lever down to start it.
Isn't that amazing? He was very respected.
Nettie grew up in a family of 8 kids on the farm, where life was full of music, church, chores, and a whole lot of fun.
I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters. And we had a good relationship. And my parents saw to that they had piano lessons, and I sang. I mean, you know, the girls sang. I sang in the youth choir and in Ricks College and BYU. Played the piano. Well, the piano and the organ. I loved to play the organ. We had a big home. And chores, we had to do chores. We farmed cows and pigs and we did it all. And my dad was a potato man that we had to help do.
Wheat and hay.
Yeah. We worked. We also had a fun life. I remember it being happy times. You know, we didn't want to do everything. But we had a happy life. My dad was a state president. And we grew up, you know, active in the church. And mother would haul us down to the street, you know, where the church was. We were very active in the primary in the church. It was just regular farm life. You know, you just did the chores and milked the cows, and it all had to be done. And mother was the best bread maker. We always had homemade bread, never a loaf of bread was it not homemade.
Nettie enjoyed her school days and has wonderful memories of drill team, singing, and eventually winning the Miss Jefferson County pageant.
I had a fulfilled fun. I had wonderful friends. And we rode the bus. We drove the bus, the big yellow bus. We had a long ride, school bus ride, every day. Oh, it was fun. It was fun. And I participated. I was the drill team.
Yeah, leader.
I was the drill master, you know, and I led the drill team. There were about 16 girls, but I was the drill master. In high school, I was Miss Jefferson County pageant. That was a big deal. Played the piano, Flight of the Bumblebee.
Nettie was a fantastic pianist and organist. She began playing the piano at just 8 years old, and by the time she was a teenager, she was playing the organ for state conferences in the local tabernacle.
We had a huge tabernacle, and it had layers of, you know. We had the great big huge piano organ, and I was taught to play the organ. So I'd play state conference. It was a big organ.
Yeah, well, that's where I met her and saw her, because I was from Ryrie, and I sat up in the, so she was down there. Who's that organ playing? Wow.
with my dad being in the state presidency, I had a lot of opportunities and meeting people that you normally wouldn't meet, you know. The authorities always stayed in our home. I remember Ezra Benson. And there was a Romney, Marky Peterson, Mary D. Hanks. I remember one night I was trying to hear the general authorities talking. I remember sitting on the floor, kneeling, you know, the floor, trying to hear what Dad and the general authority were saying. I remember listening, you know, but I had a lot of experiences that others didn't have because of the general authorities being in our home. I was getting ready for a date one night, President and Sister Kimball for visiting for state conference. President Kimball and my dad were at a state meeting, and the power went out, and while I was getting ready, and Sister Kimball followed me around the house with a flashlight. It was an amazing experience to see her sweet little soul follow her. And Dad had this flashlight, and as soon as the president came, President Kimball pulled up in the car, the lights came on. It was amazing.
One of Nettie's most memorable experiences occurred when she and a group of friends ran into President David O. McKay on Temple Square. Right there in the winter snow, she and her friends sang for him.
I was on a corner. I remember being on a corner at Temple Square. It was beautiful snow. Dave O. McKay. We stopped and sang. We thank the O God for a prophet. He stood at attention. We had shook hands, and he was very emotional.
After graduating high school, Nettie attended Ricks College in Rexburg, Idaho. There, she was voted the Delta Phi Dream Girl, studied to become a teacher, and after 2 years, moved to BYU Provo.
I went to Ricks College, and I remember playing volleyball and basketball, and I was fulfilled in my youth. It had a wonderful time. I wanted to be a school teacher. Well, I was the dream girl, the dignified dream girl
of Ricks College.
Of Ricks College, and it was an honor. We voted, and I got the vote. A dream girl was the 16 girls of us, you know, that ran for it. I was cute. You would never know. I was the dream girl.
Yes.
I'm not a pretty city girl. I'm not a wild rose. I'm just a little country girl with freckles on my nose. Is that fun? That's what I presented the night that I was the dream girl. It made me feel appreciated. I was honored. because it was a big deal, the Dale Defied Dream Girl. Rick's was 2 years. And so I went, continued on and BYU. I lived in the dorm.
Yeah.
There was a Fox Hall and there was also Heritage Hall.
It was around this time that Nettie married Max Nelson, who had been raised in Ryrie, Idaho, by a Swedish immigrant father and a loving mother.
My dad was Nils, N-I-L-S, Hilding, H-I-L-D-I-N-G, Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N. Well, in Sweden, it was N-I-L-S-S-O-N, Nilsson. And he had an uncle, Aaron Larson, living in Idle Falls. And my dad got out of the Swedish Army in the wintertime of 1929, and Uncle Aaron said, "Come to America, come to America." My dad had three brothers that helped his dad on the farm in Sweden, so they could take care of the farm. So my dad said, "Well, yeah, I guess." So he left and went on a ship, the Gripsholm, from Sweden, and he came to America in 1929. And he had a cousin out of New York. He went to see her, and then he put down his papers in New York. Oh, and that guy said, "Oh, your name's not Nilsson, it's Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N. So my dad said, "Okay, I guess." So he stamped it, and he got, and that's how his name got changed from Swedish to English. And then he left on the train and came to Idaho Falls and met Uncle Aaron. And then he lived there that winter and through the summer of the next year. And he got a call on the phone to a guy had broke his thumb working on a farm up in Ryrie, Idaho, for Bob Kerr. So my dad had a chance. He was learning English to go from Idaho Falls up to Ryrie and live there. And he became the headmaster of the watering of all the rows of the beets and potatoes and the alfalfa and all the grains that they had. He had about 5 or 6 streams of water to change a day. He was born in 1906 in Sweden, and my mom was born in 1907 in Ryrie, or up in that area, up in the hills. While he was there, she was with her cousin, Myrtle Kerr, who was Bob's wife, and they were cousins. And here come this guy from Sweden that was learning English, Brother Nilsson, or Nelson. And so my mom, Wilma Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, she and my dad, they got flicker of the ticker. And they got married and lived in a little house on the Kerr Ranch. And he would get up in the morning and go with the horse, go horsing around to these different places to change the water. And he learned more English and less Swedish. And he always had horses, horse-drawn wagons in the summer and horse-drawn sleigh. And they'd fill it up with hay in the wintertime, things to take it to the from place to place where the cows were. That's how I grew up with those things. And my dad, we milked the cows. We milked a dozen cows, roughly 10, 12 cows in the summertime.
Max was raised as a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. His dad had joined the church after moving to the States and getting married. Max and his family were sealed in the temple when he was just a young boy.
He grew up as a Lutheran in Sweden. My dad was up there with all the members of the church who worked for Bob Kerr. And he was semi-active, but and the others were active. And so my dad just grew up with these people, these Mormons, and he joined the church, was baptized. He got married to Wilma, and they had Herbert, and Barbara, and me, Max, and then Mary Ann and Dion. And they had five kids. So when we had three kids, Herbert, Barbara, and Max, and we went to the temple because my dad joined the church. And then after he joined the church, he stayed, he became the ward clerk. And he stayed ward clerk in Ryrie for years and years and years with Bishop George Lovell as a bishop. And then Herb went on a mission back to Sweden and met the folks and the uncles and everybody, all the family back there. They didn't join Mormon church. My dad was the only one that did. So here was his son, who was a Mormon and went to Sweden, but they didn't. They said, no. They weren't interested in gospel.
Most of Max's childhood consisted of working on the family farm and playing high school sports.
My dad worked for Bob Kerr for a while, and then he had his own farm and a smaller farm, but we still covered the same thing with, we didn't have a tractor. We had horses year-round, horses and cattle and pigs. Oh, we had chickens. Wash those eggs. Oh, wow. What a deal. That was my job, and to feed the pigs and put hay down for the cattle.
He loved it.
Oh, I loved it. I had to tell myself, oh, I love this. I love it. I love it so much, I just can't tell people how much I love it. Well, played football. I was the left end, and sometimes I did pretty good and made some touchdowns. And then in basketball, I liked basketball. Then I ran track. And this is, yeah, and that's where I met my future missionary companion, Max Walters, from Sugar City, Idaho, up by Rexburg.
His future mission companion was not the only important person Max met in high school. He also noticed a very cute girl playing the organ at state conference.
She was at Rigby, I was at Ryrie, but she played the organ in the state conferences every 3 months. And so I thought, wow, she looks the same as she did before. But she had a boyfriend. So when I got out of school, I met her and got acquainted with her. And then we started dating, and I just pushed this guy out of the way. And so he would call for a date to go out on Saturday night. And she said, well, how would he have a date? I'm going to go with Max to the
Saturday night
dance in Idaho Falls. So that's what I did. And then not just to get ahead. And so that's just how I pushed him out of the way. I didn't have to fist fight with him. Darn. I graduated from high school in 1957 and went to Rick's for a year and a half, something like that. Let's see, I was 20, 21 or something like that because I was going on a mission. See, I stopped and went on a mission, and she was at Rick's and was this Delta Phi Dream Girl. Oh, yeah, Dream Girl. So forth. So we stayed in touch.
After a year or so at Rick's, it was time for Max and Nettie to say a temporary goodbye as he headed off to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Got a call on and was interviewed by her dad to be in because I was in his stake. And then I went to Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia. It's the East Central States in 1959. there was six of us elders going from Salt Lake, went up to Chicago. Then we took the train down to Louisville, Kentucky. Well, on the train going there, I met a guy in the smoker's car. I didn't like that smoke, the cigarette smoke. So I just, where I was, they were smoking. So I went and I came to the smoker's car and I thought, oh my gosh. Opened it up, nobody in there. Nobody smoking. So I took my bag and I went in and sat down. Then, after a while, this guy came in and he sat down close to me and we talked. He said, well, what are you doing out here? So I'm a missionary to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have you ever heard of the Book of Mormon? The what? And so then we had a discussion, and I think I gave him a copy of the Book of Mormon. But I think later on he joined the church. And I don't think I met him after that time from Chicago down to Louisville. So, you just never know. You never know when someone may catch a dream from you. You never know when a little thing or something you may do will open up the windows. The mind that seeks the light, the way you live, doesn't matter at all, might not matter at all. But then again, it might. And just in case it could be that another's life through you might possibly change for the better with a brighter and broader view, it seems it might be worth a while at pointing the way to the right. Of course, might not matter at all, but then again, it might. That's a little poem that somebody wrote that I just have recorded in my head and my heart, and I've used it several times. My first area was in Tennessee, in Cleveland, Tennessee. We was all Southerners back here, sir. You want to talk about what? Gospel? Oh, all right. So I knocked on doors. Didn't know anybody down there. A old barber that would cut hair, and so he became a church member, and I baptized him. And I had to do it twice because he put his foot up out of the water, so we had to do it twice. Carl Hackler West was his name. Oh, he's a good one. And so I was there 9 months in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I was transferred to Louisville for Kentucky in 1960. And then we met another family there, and we taught them, and they joined the church. So I had three there. And then I went up to Morgantown, West Virginia, where Jerry West, the player of the year for all the colleges, played basketball. Well, when we had our diversion day to play, we would mix with some of these. But those guys were just crazy because here this Jerry West was so good. He really was good. And so that's where I had my good friend Max Walters from Sugar City, Idaho, and I were companions. So we had two Maxes, and we maxed out a lot of people, I'll tell you, a lot of people. But he went on to baptize. Well, I baptized about 29 people. He baptized close to 100. And he was really good. But we became really good friends. My grandson, Joseph Nelson, served in Tennessee. And it was there that the son of one of the people that we baptized was either the bishop or the state president and so forth. And Joseph met him and said that I had contacted him and taught him. I can't remember if I baptized him or not. Magnificent. Well, I came home to Ryrie in Rexburg. She was at Provo, but I stopped in Provo because the train, I think, came in. And then I went to see her in Provo when she was in school down there. Was that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And her companions were in the where they stayed, looked out the window and saw me coming. And then she looked out, and I don't know if she had flickered the ticker or not, but at any rate, so that's where I met her down there. And then I went up to Ryrie because I was back home. So when I came back, well, then we started up again.
If you're wondering if you heard that right, you did. Max stopped at Nettie's apartment on the way home from his mission. After that, their courtship took off and they've been together ever since. Max and Nettie each shared what they fell in love with about each other and how Max proposed.
Oh, I got the dream girl. Her sweetness.
What can I say? Oh, I would feel safe with him. And that was true. I felt safe with him.
In my arms, I whispered in her ear, "Will you marry me?"
Oh, tell it like it was.
Oh. Well, what else can you say? Yeah. Then we got together and we had flicker of the ticker. And in June the 6th of 1962, she said, "I do." And I said, "Great." Then we went down to False Temple and got seen.
The newlywed couple moved to Pocatello so Max could attend Idaho State while Nettie taught school. She taught third grade for 3 years.
And we lived in Pocatello, but we had to take the upstairs, outside. It was just right across the street from the ISU campus.
But I was afraid almost every night because I knew that I couldn't get out of the apartment.
There's only one way in, one way out, one door in, one door out.
And I was nervous a lot of time.
But I graduated in sociology from Idaho State University in 1965. She could teach school, even though she didn't have a four-year degree. She was one semester short of that, but she taught school.
I was a school teacher at one time for 3 years, mm-hmm. and we got married. But you feel important. You know, you were the boss.
They were supposed to listen to her. And then I worked at the with some other guys at when it drove up to Blackfoot. There was the medical center in Blackfoot, the state hospital. And so I worked there from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 hours later or 8 hours later. And so I came home around 11:30, and we drove back to Pocatello. And I did that two-year class down there. I did it in 3 years, because I had to work.
Pretty soon, Max and Nettie welcomed the first of their 7 incredible kids.
We had Michael the Miracle.
I didn't feel frightened of being a parent because I had siblings, but it was wonderful. And he didn't, you know, say, he didn't breathe, you know, and that was a frightful thing.
Yeah, because when he was born, he wasn't breathing. And the doctor held him up by his heels and ran down the room calling, code blue, code blue. And the elder, the nurses come running in and they put the mask on him. And it didn't work because it had 16, he was the 16th baby born that day. And somehow it didn't work. So the doctor said, well, it was a good time when mouth-to-mouth resuscitation really worked, and it did. And so he was a miracle. He began to breathe in and breathe out and cry. And as I remember, I went down. I leaned up against the window and I prayed that he would be okay. And he was. He was our miracle, Michael.
With their new baby in tow, the Nelsons moved to Boise, where they've been ever since.
We moved here in September of 1968. I graduated in sociology, and I go on to get a master's degree. But her brother, Bo, or Leonard Jr., Bo Graham, was an insurance salesman here in Boise, and his boss was J. Richard Clark from Rexburg. And then he was the manager of Mutual of New York here in Boise, and then became in the presiding bishopric at the church later on. That was my first job. The night of graduation, we moved from Pocatello to Boise with a little baby Michael, and then Julie was going to come this next year or so. And then the guy that had this house built, he got a job change from Boise to somewhere. And we got this house, and he made us a good deal on this house. That's been, 55 years since September of 1968. Well, we got here, and it had a single-car garage. But we had five children, and we had three bedrooms. So what we did was eventually, in the period of time, in 1980, we took the single-car garage out and went up and put it upstairs, second floor. And so we have two bedrooms upstairs and three down here, and then a half basement. And so we had more room for seven children because she was the mother of all of our children. Michael, Julie, David, Susan, Catherine, Robert, and Natalie Ann Nelson. We just loved you. We had to spank you a bit and change your dirty diapers.
I loved my kids.
They were the best kids we ever had, all seven of them.
It was a busy time at the Nelson household with all those kids. Max worked very hard to provide and had a successful career in the insurance industry, and Nettie ran the home. She also had a Color Me a Season business, substitute taught, was the PTA president, and was a room mother for 25 years at Jefferson Elementary.
She did a lot of it because I was out knocking on doors and selling life insurance. And then I had got my authorization to sell mutual funds. So then I had the life insurance and the mutual funds, and the company had that together. So then I became a mutual fund salesman also with those that wanted to do that. And
I worked Color Me a Season. I had a studio upstairs, and I'd color, tell them what colors to wear. I had the little flags that I colored and cut. And I loved it. I mean, it was so true. It true, I feel. I wanted this ladies to know what color was the best on them. And I still had the drapes and stuff. And it was so real. I taught piano. I taught school also. I substituted, you know. I was a room mother for 25 consecutive years. Jefferson Elementary
School.
And I smiled most of the time.
Max and Nettie have a special relationship with all seven of their kids. They shared what they love and admire most about each one.
Michael, I love his humor and his humility.
And he's a temple worker here at the Boise Idaho Temple. Oh, he's just so good with all the electronics and how it works. Our Jewels. Oh, she was so good with the kids, with these little babies that came along. And she was the best oldest daughter that I had. David is very athletic. So he played basketball.
And he's a good friend. He's always been a good friend.
Jason Hall was, seeing his dad was one of the supervisors at Mutual of New York. And so I knew him and worked with him. And here his son had an accident, and our son David kind of helped him up and helped him
along. And he's just always been just kind.
Yeah.
Just kind. I haven't heard him yell around the house.
No.
You know, he's not that nature.
Oh, the Suze. She is the Suze of all Susans, I'll tell you that.
There isn't
a Susan that's any better than our Susan.
Well, I love how she's thoughtful. She's kind.
And comes here and takes care of her mother a lot. Does a lot of things. She smiled a lot. She smiled a lot.
She was happy. She's happy.
Catherine.
Oh, words can't.
Yeah.
Express how I feel about Kathy.
She didn't want to go to school when first grade. So I took her over there, and the principal, a woman, picked her up, carried her in the school. And Susan or Kathy was kicking and yelling. But she got over it. It took her 6 months, but she got over it. Our Robert Max Nelson. And he was very athletic. He played basketball in high school. There's two statues downstairs that has his name on it as the player of the year or something in Bora High School. Rob was very gentle and tender-hearted and emotional, too. That was our Rob. That is our Rob. He's that way today. And he is also a counselor in the bishopric of his ward, but he has long hair and a beard. And he said, you come to church, you tell these girls, just come to church, regardless of who you are. We love you. And he's just kept his hair long. He does it in the back. Our Natalie Ann, she finally was our seventh child. And she's just so precious. We didn't really know. And then Nettie found out that she was expecting this baby. And I said, well, this is going to be a special baby, I guess.
I had my seventh baby, Natalie, a month before I turned 42. I have never said, I'm not going to have any more. I'm not going to have. But it seemed such a natural thing. I felt that I knew that Natalie was coming. And I was criticized. I can't tell you how many times. I was criticized for having
one more baby.
But I don't know what we'd do without Natalie. They all have a date, a different nature.
Yeah.
And I love that about them.
The Nelsons have experienced countless miracles in their family. They shared one miracle story from when their kids were young to illustrate. There are a few key details to include. When Kathy was just 2 years old, she was being babysat by Michael while both Max and Nettie were out of the home. Kathy ended up getting lost, and Michael called his dad to come home. Michael and Max drove around looking for Kathy when Nettie arrived home, and they had to break the news to her.
Michael was watching Kathy, and he went to sleep, and Kathy was two or two and a half or between two and three. And so she walked out the front door.
Oh.
Walked out the front door and down the street. And Michael was asleep.
And I was at home.
Yeah. We couldn't find her. We drove around. Our Kathy, we can't find Kathy. And she went, oh. And her eyes got big and her mouth open. We can't find our Kathy. Where is she? And then came inside the house. And so we called 911 and they finally said, what was she wearing?
You're wearing red.
And so mom told me, and so I told them, and they said, well, we have her down at our office. Police officer Jack Carroll, whose wife worked at my office, he was the one that picked her up and took our lost Kathy into police station. And I said, oh my gosh, that's good. We got her Catherine back.
Can you imagine this experience?
One of the most amazing experiences for the Nelson family was when a reporter from the Idaho Statesman stayed at their home to learn about members of the church. The Boise Temple was just being built, so the Statesman wanted to do a series on Mormons in Boise. At the time, the Nelsons had all seven kids at home, with Michael preparing to serve a mission and Natalie born just 6 weeks before. They were chosen as the subject family, and every day, an article was written about them in the newspaper. Of course, they were shining examples to the community, and they were even shouted out in general conference. The article was actually placed inside the cornerstone of the Boise, Idaho Temple.
I happened to be called as the scoutmaster of the Boise Tent Award. And one day we got a call from our bishop, Paul Ward, and said, you've got a son on a mission. You've had your youngest child, Natalie, born. We've been asked to find a family that would take a non-member reporter into your house for a week and find out about your membership in the church. I said, oh, what? So John Dean came from Idaho Statesman, lived upstairs. He went to Sunday school and I took him to with the scouts. And we went out to Channel 6 to do a communications, because Channel 6 communication. And he said on the way back, he said, well, I tell you, Max, John Dean speaking, I know that I'm never going to be a scoutmaster because of these kids that were, you know, because kids that age are just all over. I thought, wow, what's this going to be like? And then he interviewed us about the spirituality and the home evenings and the family get-togethers and all we did and what we did and on the trampoline out here. And you just never know what's going to happen. Oh,
I had no fear
the kids did pretty good.
Max and Nettie have both served in many callings in the church, including working at the temple, which has been a huge part of their lives.
I worked at night. I worked at the temple.
Boise Temple. 16, 18 years or something like that. I was there for 12 years. And when she worked there at night, cleaning. And when her mother came and lived with us for 12 years here, she lived here 12 years, Nettie would go to the Boise Temple to help do the cleaning and be the supervisor of those that showed up and came and did it.
One of the greatest hardships the Nelsons have faced was losing their daughter, Julie, to MSA. Their faith in the Lord and belief that they will be with her again has carried them through.
Well, she died of MSA, multiple system atrophy. And as she was dying, she lived here 2.5 years in this house with us, but she began to pull up her arms and her legs like that. And the doctors here didn't know anything. What the devil is this? What's this?
We have experienced the loss of a child. And it's hard to realize that, but to not have resentment, because Julie didn't get to stay here. You know, you can feel cross about it because Julie's just somewhere else. It's comforting to know where Julie is.
Yeah. And we can walk 535 steps over there in the cemetery and see her stand in front of her headstone. She had 5 children. She had 3 girls and 2 boys. It says, never hesitate in God's leading. And she wrote it. And she knew it. And it applied to her. She got it from her mom, I think.
Is that awesome?
Never hesitate in God's leading. So he keeps commandments and you do your best you can.
She wrote that in her hand, in her own handwriting.
Yeah.
Though it was hard to leave her.
And she'll always be our jewels. Always.
That same amazing faith that Julie exhibited has carried Nettie through some serious health challenges she's faced.
I'm grateful that I have been able to recover for what I've had to go through.
Her strokes, 2 stroke, and cancer, breast cancer.
I feel... I haven't ever felt fearful about it. I just have known Heavenly Father is in charge. But I've never hesitated to know the Lord what wants us to do.
The greatest joys of Max and Nettie's lives has been watching their family grow and grow and grow.
44 grandchildren and 29 great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. We love it all.
Remember their names and their birth dates and how they fit in.
That's a lot.
And you add the spouses to the ones that are married, It puts us a little over 100 people.
And I wouldn't for the world change anything.
Because we love him so much. This is the best wife I've ever had. And because she is so precious to me. Very nice and precious. I don't know how she stays that precious so.
Well, it's hard.
But it's great. It's the best way. I don't know, it's been a great life. And look back at it, wow. All the things that we did and you know, and some of the things you don't do or can't do or haven't done, should have done. But life's been good. It's been good.
I don't know what I'd do without him. He's perfect.
Wow. What she doesn't know.
He's the most perfect person for me that I could have ever married.
The things that we've experienced together over the years, since I went on my mission and came home and met her again. We all both got Flicker the Ticker and we got married. Then we had Michael the Miracle and Jules, our little Jules. And then all the others.
Wow,
it's great, wonderful.
Well, I want them to know the gospel is true. I want them to love each other and to love the Lord.
And pass it on to their children.
As you've heard, Max and Nettie have spent their lives working hard, building a beautiful family, laughing together, and loving one another. Their faith and positivity are radiant. They are true examples of the light of Christ and what it means to be His disciples. A huge thank you to the Johnsons for making this episode possible and to Max and Nettie for being interviewed. If there is someone that you would like to have featured on Hearing Our Heritage, email us at hearingourheritage@gmail.com or visit our website, hearingourheritage.com.